You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Excited because today we are kicking off a brand new series called Free From Offended. We're going to be talking about this important topic of offense. And I really think for some of you, this is going to be a breakthrough series in your life, like God is going to do a work in your life, a work of healing and freedom. And some of you might be thinking, why spend a few weeks to talk about this topic? Well, I'll tell you, this is not theoretical for me. Like, I see so many people around me struggling with this issue of offense. I see so many believers getting knocked off course. I see people really, their spiritual growth being stunted, people really not being able to live out of their full potential in Christ because of this issue of offense. And so I really believe if we can get some victory in this area, it will affect every area, every part of our life. And so over the next few weeks, I really want to encourage you to be here because I believe God wants to do a work of healing in many people's lives. How many of you are familiar with the law of the minimum? The law of the minimum. We have a picture here for you to illustrate this barrel. As you know, a wooden barrel is made of wooden slats. You can see that in the picture there. And the shortest slat on a wooden barrel determines how much capacity that barrel has, how much water it can hold or any liquid, right? Whatever is the shortest slat is what makes the difference. And for many people, there's one area of your life that's really affecting your overall capacity. And I think offense is one of those issues for many people. Offense is really, for many people, the shortest slat on their barrel, and it's really affecting their overall capacity. For many people, the way they're able to handle offense, it's affecting their relationships. If you're married, it's affecting your marriage. It's affecting your friendships, the quality of your friendships, your relationships with family members, coworkers. It's really, for some of you, it's the shortest slat on your barrel, and it's affecting other areas of your life. It's affecting your capacity. It's affecting your capacity to grow as a human being. It's affecting your potential, you realizing your full potential, you really embracing your full identity in Christ and your spiritual growth. And so I really believe if God can do a work in our lives in this one area of offense, it will really raise our overall capacity. It'll help us to grow spiritually and affect every area of our lives. Now, let's recognize the challenge for just a moment here, because this is a challenging subject, isn't it? Let's recognize that for every person in this place, at some point in time, we are going to get offended. Can I get an amen, somebody? We're going to get offended. It's going to happen, right? People are going to offend us. We're going to offend other people. We're going to get offended. It's part of life. Now, I got some boxes up here today to represent an offense, because what happens is we're kind of going about life and somebody offends us, and it's like they hand us this offense. And we take it and we're carrying it around, right? We have this offense. And we're all triggered by different things. Every one of us, we're triggered by different things. For some of you, it might just be interacting with someone and the tone of their voice. Come on, you ever had somebody, just the tone of their voice got under your skin? Somebody like, come on, pastor, preach this morning. Like, you ever had the spirit of slap come over you? Like, you just wanted to slap somebody? Come on, we're going to just be honest in church today. You got offended. That person's so offensive. For some of you, like maybe you did something nice for somebody and they forgot to say thank you, right? Yeah, you got offended. And it's like, well, I went out of my way for that person. I served that person. I blessed them. Like the least they could have done was say thank you, right? And you got offended and now you're carrying around this offense. Come on, some of you get offended in traffic. Can we just be honest in church this morning? We got people who get offended in traffic. You ever have this happen? This offends me. You let somebody in the line and they're not even nice enough to give you the thank you wave. Like, isn't it in the Bible somewhere that if you let somebody in line in traffic, they got to give you the thank you wave? You're like, you could still be stuck in traffic right now. The least you could do, I let you in. You could have at least given me a thank you wave. I'm offended. And you're carrying around an offense. For some of you, it's like, you ever had this happen? Like, you text a friend and they don't text you back? And you're like, I thought we were really good friends. Like, what? Am I not as important to you as other people? And I know you got the text because it says red. And I saw bubbles. Like, you started to write me back. There were bubbles. And then you ghosted me. I thought our friendship meant more to you. Like, I'm offended and you're carrying around this offense. And for some of you, oh, God forbid this happens, the unpardonable sin. Somebody posts something on social media that you don't agree with politically or theologically and you get offended. Oh my gosh, we got to be the most offended generation like on the planet, like in the history of humanity, right? But it happens to us, right? It happens to us. And, you know, I get offended too. I can't pick on you too much because I get offended too. A couple of years ago, Amy and I were at a restaurant on a Friday night for a date night, and we couldn't get reservations. Like, you had to just come in and put your name on a list. And so there was a few people in front of us in line, and this guy walked in, this couple walked in, and he tried to sneak around the line and go all the way up to the front. Come on, how many of you, that just gets under your skin when people do stuff like that, think they're more important than everybody else? So this guy went up to the front, and I kind of saw his awkward interaction with the hostess, who was like, no, you have to go to the back of the line like everybody else. And I looked at this guy, and I got Amy next to me, and I'm like, who does this guy think he is? Come on, I got indignant. I was offended by this guy. And when he walked past me, I almost wanted to say, hey, dude, you got a problem? You want to step outside or something? You're a Christian pastor about to get in a fight at a restaurant. How many of you know it's not good if your pastor gets arrested for getting in a fight at a restaurant on a Friday night? Does not look good for your church, for your pastor to do that. Now, I was going to do it for the glory of God, right, as an instrument of his righteousness and justice for his glory, nonetheless. But I get offended, too. I get offended, too. And so here's the bad news. We really can't control when we're going to get offended. We can't control other people. How many of you know that's true? We can't control other people. Like, the reality is, people are going to be offensive at times. People are going to forget about us, not live up to our expectations. We're going to do it to others. Like, we really can't control when this is going to happen. In many ways, you can't even control what you do with it. But here's what I want you to know today, and put this in your notes. There's a difference between being occasionally offended and living with offended as your identity. There's a difference between being occasionally offended and living with offended as your identity. See, your attitude is almost like weather. Let me give you this analogy. You know, the weather changes, right? You have good days and bad days, sunshiny days and rainy days, right? And your attitude can kind of be like that. You have good days and bad days. And we know that over time, weather patterns become a climate, don't they? For example, we have some 80-degree days here in New York in the summertime. How many of you are looking to that? Looking forward to that? Can I get an amen, somebody? Some 80-degree days this summer. Get here quickly, please, Lord. And Florida has a lot of 80-degree days, but they certainly have a lot more 80-degree days than us because they have a different climate, right? See, if you're not careful, if you harbor offense over time, it becomes your relational climate. It becomes part of who you are, so that eventually offended becomes your identity. There's a difference between being occasionally offended and having offended as your identity. A couple years ago, actually the first year when we started this church, we were just a few months into it, there was a lady who came to our church. And I knew she was going to be a problem from day one. In fact, one of my pastor friends called me and said, hey, there's a lady who left our church. She's kind of crazy. She's coming to your church. And I'm like, thank you for the heads up. Come on, pastors, we look out for each other. And so, you know, I hate to say it, but I knew this woman, you know, she was going to be a challenge, had a lot of problems and very needy. And you could just tell, like, this is not going to end well. And so she came and we tried to love on her, make her feel welcome. And within a few weeks of being here, she was really needy. And she asked us to help her move. She had no friends, no family. And so, like, okay, we'll help you move. And it was one of those situations where I'm like, Lord, I'm totally doing this as unto you because I know this situation is not going to end well. You ever been there before? Like, Lord, this is for you, right? So we show up, and of course, she doesn't have a moving truck. She doesn't have anybody. We had to help this lady move in my Chevy Traverse, like 15 trips. And of course, she wasn't moving into a, you know, a first level apartment. It had to be a second bedroom, second level, you know, apartment. It was me and a group of friends from church. We were hauling stuff in the heat. It was a hot day, like sweating it out. But like, okay, Lord, we're doing this for you to honor and help this lady. And she was like, you know, very thankful, very appreciative, thought I was the best pastor in the world, whatever. Well, that same week, I'm friends with this lady on Facebook, and she's always posting all this just negative stuff, just toxic stuff, just like negative vibes. And I'm like, I don't want to see this. And for some reason, she keeps coming up in my feed. And this was back before they had the unfollow feature on Facebook. Come on, how many of you are thankful for the unfollow feature on Facebook? Can I get an amen, somebody? You know, the unfollow feature where you stay friends with them, but you can unfollow them and you don't have to see all their negativity in your feed. Well, this was before they had that feature. I didn't know about it. So I just gracefully unfriended her. I didn't send her a nasty message. I didn't, like, you know, tell her I really don't want to see this stuff no more. I'm just like, I don't want to see this negativity. So I unfriended her. That Sunday, that very same Sunday, during the same week when I had helped this lady, she comes into church and she makes a beeline for me before service. I'm standing out in the lobby and she gets up in my face and she's like, Pastor Jeremy, did you unfriend me on Facebook? And I'm like, hey, can we talk about this like after the service, right? And she's like, that is so un-Christ-like. You're a hypocrite. I can't believe you would. Why would you do that to somebody? I mean, she started ripping into me over the unpardonable sin of unfriending her on Facebook. I mean, I was like, can we just talk about this later? She's getting up in my face. And I'm like this close to saying, lady, if you don't get out of my face, I'm gonna have the ushers carry your butt up on out of here. Like, I'm nice, I got some grace, but, you know, get out of my face. So anyway, you know, I started preaching. She got up and left. She was disgusted with me. And 2 years later, she sent me an email. She was still hot about it. I mean, the nastiest email. She's like, Pastor Jeremy, you're what's wrong with pastors today. Like, you're why the ministry and the church gets a bad reputation. You are so unChrist-like. I can't believe you would do that. I mean, she ripped me again 2 years later. And of course, I recognized right away that what this lady was upset about had very little to do with me. This was a hurt woman who was carrying around hurts that had very little to do with me, and just being offended had become part of her identity. And it was sad, right? Like, whenever you encounter somebody like that, like, I didn't write her back. I didn't defend myself. Like, you know, I recognized that this was a broken person, and I was really sad for her because offended had literally become part of her identity. And so the question is, like, how does this happen to us? How does this happen to people? Because, like, nobody aspires to get this way, right? Like, when you're a kid, nobody says, when I grow up, I want to be offended. I want to be jaded and bitter and only be able to have surface level relationships and not let anybody into my life because I'm always offended and hurt by everybody. Nobody aspires to be that way or end up that way, right? But this happens. This happens. See, here's what happens. We're going about life, you know, minding our own business, and somebody offends us and they hand us this offense. And, you know, we're carrying it around, right? Like, I didn't ask for it, but they gave it to me. And so now we have this offense and we're carrying it around. And, you know, I think, like, God begins to speak to us and we know we need to let it go. So why don't we let it go? Why don't people let go of the offense when we all know we're better for letting go of it? Well, first of all, it's because we kind of feel like we have a right to be offended, right? There's this sense of, like, I'm not giving this up. Like, I have a right to be offended. I didn't ask for this. I was minding my own business. Like, I deserve this. Like, I got this offense. You gave it to me. Like, what they did was unfair and unjust. Like, if you would have been there for me, I wouldn't even have been offended. If you would have held up your end of the bargain, if you would have been the kind of friend that I expected you to be, if you would have been trustworthy, if that boss, that supervisor wouldn't have treated me that way, like, God, I didn't even ask for this, and now you want me to give it up? Like, no, I have a right to be offended. Come on, how many have ever been there before? Like, you saw what they did. Like, now I'm just supposed to give this up? And the problem is that over time, we keep picking them up, you know? Then another offense comes along, and somebody else lets us down, and, you know, some other friend isn't there for us, and we have a relationship that doesn't work out, and we invested our heart, but, you know, they didn't give back like we thought they should have given back, and that person treated us that way. And we had expectations, right? We had, you know, just decent expectations of what that other person should have been like, but they didn't live up to our expectations, and so now we're carrying around all of these offenses. Now, the problem is, it's really hard for you to embrace everything that God has for you when you're carrying around all this baggage. You know, God's maybe wanting to put some other things into your life, right? Like, maybe he's got some better relationships for you. Maybe God's got some new purpose for you, some open doors, some things he's wanting to put in your hand, but you can't receive it because you're carrying around all of this extra baggage. It's really hard for you to be the mom that God's calling you to be and really focus on your family when you're got all this boxes, all this baggage, all this offense that you're holding on to. For some of you, it's hard for you to be the husband that God wants you to be because you're managing all these offenses. You're carrying around all this stuff. It's hard for you to be the friend, the brother, the sister, the believer, the person that God's calling you to be because you're carrying around all of these offenses and you feel like you have the right to be offended, but it's really getting in the way of all that God has for you in life, and you gotta let it go. Gotta let it go. Here's the deal. The reality is, we can't control other people, can we? We can't control other people. Sometimes we really can't even control ourselves. The reality is, you can't control what other people are going to do to you, say to you, if they're going to live up to your expectations. There are going to be offensive people. Sometimes you really can't even control your initial reaction. Can we just have an honest moment in church? Any of you ever been offended by something and you didn't even want to be offended by it? Like, you were just more petty than you would care to admit, right? Like, wow, that was such a small thing, but it just got under my skin and I can't shake it. Like, you've been there before, right? Here's the point. You can't control when offense will happen, but you can control how you respond to it. Over the long term, you can't control when offense is going to happen, but you can control how you respond to it. You have to recognize that you have the power to choose. With the help of the Holy Spirit, with God working in your life, you have the power to choose. We can't control what happened in the past. We can't control what will happen in the future. We can't control like when those people will come into our lives and when an episode of offense will happen. But with God's help, we can choose how we will respond. Amen? We can choose how we'll respond. Because offense is an event, but offended is a decision. Offense is an offense, is an event. Offense is something that happened to us, but offended is a disposition that we choose. Offense is something that happened to you. Somebody let you down. Somebody wasn't trustworthy. Somebody hurt you. Somebody didn't live up to your expectations. That is an event, but how you respond to it over the long term, offended, whether or not you embrace that as your identity, is a decision that we can make with the help of the Holy Spirit. So every time an offense comes into your life, you gotta make a choice. With God's help, you gotta make a choice. Am I gonna pick this up and hold on to it? Or am I gonna let it go? Because over time, the more you pick it up and you hold on to it, it becomes your relational climate. It becomes part of your identity and it ends up shaping who you are. But every time with God's help, you're able to let go of it and respond in a way that honors Him and honors others. That's how you get free from offended. Every time you make that choice. And so I want to give you a few thoughts today about the choices you can make when it comes to offense. Because when it comes to offense, we have the power to choose. This is a great time to open up the Redemption app and put some notes in the app. You can get that at our website. Put some of these ideas in your notes today because you have the power to choose. So here's the first thing. You can choose to let it go. With God's help. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you can choose to let it go. Let's look at this little power-packed verse from the book of Proverbs that's full of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11 says this, "A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense." Proverbs says a wise person, a person who's gained wisdom over time, knows how to overlook an offense. It's to one's glory. It's to your honor. It's to your own dignity to overlook an offense. You can choose to let it go. Now, how many of you know when kids are young, they can really easily get offended by a lot of things, like simple things, right? Like I have two younger boys are in elementary, and sometimes they come home and they're out of sorts, and you're like, "Did something happen at school today?" And what do you find out, parents, right? Somebody called them a name. Somebody didn't play with them on the playground, right? Somebody didn't share a toy with them. Somebody didn't share, right? And they get offended by little things. But over time, right, like it's expected that you as a human being, you grow up a little bit, you grow a little more emotional capacity, and you can get over some of the small things. But let's be honest for a moment here. Sometimes there are some parts of us that are emotionally immature, and we really can't even let small things go. And over time, we start getting offended by every little small thing, right? Well, they liked my friend's comment, but they didn't like my comment, right? And they looked at me kind of funny, and they didn't smile at me today. They didn't give me enough attention, and this and that. And we pick up all the little small things, and we can find ourselves at this point where we can't even let small things go. But with God's help, we can choose to let it go. Albert Einstein said this, "Weak people revenge, strong people forgive, intelligent people ignore." Come on, how many of you know there are some people in your life, you just got to give them the hand metaphorically. I ain't got any time for this, right? I got more important things to do. God has too much for me. He's got a purpose for my life. There's potential over my life. There are people who need me. I'm going to step into everything that God has for me, stay focused on what I'm supposed to stay focused on, be who I'm supposed to be. Come on, I'm going to get over this. I'm going to let go of it. I'm over it. I'm over it. Come on, turn to somebody and say, "I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm gonna let go of it." Being offended never made me a better person. I don't know about you. Being offended never made me a better person. I'm gonna get to a place where, God, you have too much more in store for my life. I'm gonna choose to let it go with your help. Here's the second thing, because you have the power to choose. You have the power to choose when it comes to offense, what you're gonna do with it. Number two, you can choose to live out of your new identity in Christ. How many of you know that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been given a new identity in him? You can choose, with the help of the Holy Spirit working in your life, you can choose to live out of your new identity in Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote about this. He wrote to the church of Galatia, the Christians in Galatia. Here's what it says, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's saying, I have a new identity. Like, I've been crucified with Christ. Like, when I went down into the waters of baptism, I died to the old sinful me. When I came up out of those waters, I was raised to new life, right? And so now this life that I live by faith in the Son of God. Like, I'm not the same person. I died to the person I used to be. I died to that old sinful ego that I had, where I was worried about everybody else and what they thought about me, and I had to defend myself, and I always had a right to be, you know, offended about everything, and I always had to set the record straight and get even. Like, I died to that person. I died to the right to be offended all the time, because isn't that our problem, right? We feel like we have such a right to be offended. Paul's saying, like, that's not even who I am anymore. Come on, how many of you know it's hard to offend a dead person? It's hard to offend a dead person. Like, I'm dead to that. And so we can choose to embrace our identity in Christ. No, the life that I live now, I now live by faith in the Son of God. Like, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone. The new has come. God, I'm going to embrace the new identity that I have in you. What you think about me, what you've said about me shapes my identity, who I am, the way you've loved me. And I'm going to stay centered and rooted in that. I'm going to live out of that. And I'm going to let go of the old me, put to death the old me, and embrace everything that you have for my life and live out of that. You have a choice to make. With the help of the Holy Spirit, like, you can do that. Like, you can die to this whole thing of always having to defend yourself, always having to get another word in, always having to set the record straight, and you can live out of your new identity in Christ. Here's the third thing, because we're talking about the power that we have to choose. Can't control when offense happens, but we have the power to choose what we do with it, if we're going to hold on to it or we're going to let it go. Here's the third thing. You can choose to open your heart again. This one's really powerful for some of you. You can choose to open your heart again. Why is this so important? Well, you got offended in the first place, not because your heart wasn't open, but because your heart was open. See, you were open to that new relationship that you invested your heart into. You were open to that friendship. You were open to place your trust in that person. You believed in that person. You opened your heart to that new job opportunity. You opened your heart to that situation, right? You opened your heart and somebody failed you. Somebody let you down. Somebody didn't live up to your expectations. Like, somebody, like, you know, they hurt you. They offended you, but your heart was open. And you don't solve it by closing off your heart. You don't get out of this place of being offended by closing off your heart and kind of having this sense of, like, well, I'm never opening my heart again. I'm going to look out for me. I'm going to protect mine. I'm going to protect my heart and never trust again, because that's what people do. They think that's how I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to just protect myself. And you know, people kind of celebrate that sometimes. People think that's really tough. Like, yeah, good for you. Look out for yourself. I got a friend that I'm friends with on social media, and we went to high school together. I think that's the only reason we're friends, but she's always posting something about somebody offended her. And here's the thing, other people will celebrate it. They're like, yeah, you go, girl. You stick up for yourself. She's always posting things like, you know, this person parked so close to me. You know, what a jerk, right? And, oh, I went to this restaurant, and you wouldn't believe the customer service is so offensive, right? And I went to this ball game, and this parent acted ridiculous. Like, you know, just always shaming other people, always celebrating her offenses. And the crazy thing is, our culture will even pile on and celebrate it. Yeah, you go, girl. You let them have it. You stick up for yourself. That's right. Y'all laughing, but you know what happens all the time, right? See, offense can actually be energizing. Like, some of you, like, you got adrenaline. Like, you're energized when you're offended. And people will come around you, and they'll celebrate your offense. That's not the way you get healed. That's not the way you get set free, by closing your heart off. I'm going to protect myself. I'm never going to trust again. I'm going to look out for me. No, no, no. You got into this because your heart was open. You don't get out of it by closing your heart off. You get out of it by opening your heart to God, to his love, to his grace, to his healing in your heart. Here's what the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. He says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Look at this, verse 10. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now read verse 11 out loud with me, because this is powerful. Read this with me. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. See, here's what the Apostle John's saying. The way you get healed, the way you get free, the way you get a capacity to love others is you open your heart again. And you start with opening your heart to Father God, to his love, to his grace, to his mercy. Because I love what it says here. Like this is how God has loved us. When I read verse 10, I read it this way. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love others. God, you so loved me. You didn't hold anything back from me, but you gave your one and only son. You emptied the riches of heaven. You thought that much of me. You loved me that much. Like this is love. That God, we didn't love you first, but you loved us and you gave your one and only son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so you got to get a greater revelation of God's love for you. Because some of you, the reason you can't open your heart, some of you, the reason you can't love other people and forgive other people, the reason is that you can't forgive others is that you really haven't received the forgiveness of God for yourself. Oh, you thought you did. You sang the songs. You amen the sermons. But you never had a full revelation of just how much God has loved you. See, it's as you begin to open your heart to a greater revelation of God's love, as you begin to realize, like, God, you loved me when I didn't love you. God, you were faithful to me when I wasn't faithful to you. God, you loved me through my mess. God, you loved me through my brokenness. God, you loved me despite my failures, my shortcomings, my sin. God, you saw every part of my life. God, you know how many times I've come back to you over and over again for forgiveness in that same area. God, you know how many times I've come back to the bottomless well of your grace. And God, you've loved me so well because you so love me, God. I guess I can love others. I can open my heart to start somewhere. Come on, some of you, you've been hurt and it's been hard to know where to start. You can trust your heart with Father God, can't you? Come on, if you can trust anybody with your heart, you can trust your heart to Father God. God, I can open my heart. I can start by opening my heart to your love, opening my heart to your grace, opening my heart to your healing touch so that I can in turn eventually begin to open my heart again to others. And that's how you find healing. I want to remind you again, we really can't control this whole offense thing. We can't control others. We can't control offensive people who are going to move in and out of our lives, even loved ones, even friends. People are going to come up short sometimes. We're going to offend others. It's going to happen. But when it does, we have a choice. We can control, with the help of the Holy Spirit, how we respond to it. And it will determine ultimately who you become. Will determine your identity. For some of you, like this has been haunting you for way too long. This has been a problem for you for way too long. It's been limiting your capacity. It's been stunting your spiritual growth. It's been keeping you from becoming everything that God would have you to become. And now is the time. This is the season for you to do some serious soul work. And I'm really believing over the next few weeks, for some of you, it's going to be a breakthrough. For some of you, you're going to get some healing in your heart and you're going to get free from offended. Now's the time. Amen. Come on, why don't you stand with me? We're going to pray into this. Just stand with me. Come on, just stay locked in for a moment. Just begin to prepare your heart as we pray. Maybe you want to bow your head. Maybe you want to lift your hands. Because here's what I'm asking you to pray. For some of you, I'm going to ask you to commit on going on this journey with me over the next few weeks as we go on this journey together in life groups and on Sunday morning as we begin this work of freedom. God, I want to cooperate. I want to just be open to this work of freedom and healing that you want to do in my life. And we're going to pray for that very thing. But some of you just start today with, God, I commit. I commit to being here. I commit to opening my heart to this process. Now is my time, God. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you for your grace. God, we thank you that you so loved us. You loved us so well that you gave your one and only son for us so that we could be healed. We could be whole. We could be free. Father, today, we choose to let go. Father, we choose to release these hurts. We choose to release these offenses to you. God, we don't want to carry them anymore. For so many of us, they've been too much to carry for so long. God, we release them to you. We receive your grace, your healing, your freedom. We want to step into everything that you would have for us, God. And so today, God, we ask you to help us. We commit to this over the next few weeks, to this work you want to do in our lives, to embracing it. And now, Father, I pray for the person who feels so far away from you. I pray for the person who in this place, God, they hear about your love being described, that you're a God who loved us so well, that you gave your one and only son for us. And right now, something in their heart would say, I want to know God that way. And God, we believe right now that tug in the heart is the gentle pull of the Holy Spirit, the drawing of the Holy Spirit to a saving knowledge of your son, Jesus Christ. And if that's you right now, I would just invite you to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I want to know you. I invite you into my life. I want to receive this love. I believe that you are who you said you are, the Son of God, that you died for me to forgive me of my sins so that I could be new. And so I turn from my sins today. I turn to you today, Jesus, to receive your grace, to receive your healing, to receive your salvation. I place my trust in you. Father, I bless every person who prayed that prayer today for the first time today or for the thousandth time today. God, I thank you that right now your Holy Spirit testifies to their spirit that they are born again, sons and daughters, new creations in Christ Jesus, never the same. Father, I speak healing, wholeness, and freedom over your people today. In Jesus' name, if you receive it, would you say a good amen? Amen? Freedom. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.